We just sang a song, Mighty to Save. Why do we need a Savior? You ever think about that? We just sang a great song. Our God is mighty to save. Why do we need a Savior? What's it all about? That's kind of what these messages are about. You know, as I thought about these titles and where's everybody at? If I scared everybody off talking about death and hell, I mean, these are really good topics. You know, I can't wait to get to church. We're going to talk about dying. All right. You know, come to church. We're going to talk about death. We're going to come in and we're going to talk about death today. Or how about today? We're going to talk about hell. I got a video clip. And the title of my video clip in my file says, Hell No. You know? And we, you know, it's one of these topics that we, oh man, can't wait. You know, I woke up this morning going, I can't wait. I'm going to church. I get to talk about hell today. You know, it's one of those topics that is like, Now, years ago, they used to have what were called hell, fire, and brimstone preachers. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody remember those days? I don't know. I only heard my grandfather preach once. I didn't know my grandfather was a preacher for a long, long time. He was what's called a brush arbor preacher. They came to California when the crops were up and down. I got my mom's family went up and down this valley all the way to Ventura picking cotton and all sorts of things as they went up and down. And my grandfather preached wherever they were at. And I heard him once, and he was a hell, fire, and brimstone preacher. You know, his objective was to scare the hell out of you. You know, and it's very hell's a very uncomfortable topic. What would happen if you went out today for lunch? I know it's Mother's Day. It might not be the greatest day to do it. Or sit around your friends at Starbucks and you go, hey, let's talk about hell today. You know, I'm sure that would go over like a lead ball. But I'm going to talk about it today because I think it's something we need to talk about because God saves us from hell. And what's so interesting is this. 75% of people believe there's a heaven. 75%, if you go out and talk to all your friends, 75% believe there's a heaven. Now, you're going to find some out there, they believe in aliens, and they're going to take you. I don't know where they're going to take you, but they have all that other ideas. Only 40% believe in hell. 75% believe in heaven, but only 4 out of 10 believe in hell. I got a little video clip I want you to see. I want you to see who's saying this. I want you to hear what he's saying. Look at what happens here in this video clip. Hell doesn't exist. A bishop from a church saying hell doesn't. How can you take the word of God and say, well, let's put it this way. Most of us, maybe some of us, take a cafeteria style of God. When we talk about being a Christian, we like this part and we like this part and we like this loving God and we like the caring God and the God who provides and the God who blesses. But we don't want this God of wrath and hell. And we want to take a cafeteria style God. We want to kind of walk down the line. I want to take this, and I want this kind of God, and I like this kind of God. And we have this cafeteria style of believing. And basically what he's saying as I watch that, I am going to need that. As I watch that, you know, he's basically saying, you know what? Doesn't matter what the Bible says. Here's what we're going to talk about. You know, I mean, here's a guy who's supposed to be a man of God's word saying basically, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the book says. What matters is what I think, what I feel. What matters is about me. And I want to challenge that thought. Think about it. 60% of people, maybe you're here this morning, and it's like, I don't really know about hell. I don't know if I believe in it or not. And what I want to propose to you is if you believe God's word, you need to believe there's a hell. But we have statements like this. If God's a good God, he wouldn't send anybody to hell. If God's a good God, why would he even create hell? Well, that's where I want to start. I want to kind of answer that question. Why is there a hell in the first place? Why did God and all the beauty of he created and everything that he set out for us, why did he create hell in the first place? You get your outline out. This says it real simple right here. Hell exists for God to deal righteously with Satan. When you ask that question, you deny the existence of hell, you're really questioning the character and nature of God. Can there really be justice? Can God really be a good God if there is no punishment for Satan? Would we really say that's fair, that's just, that's righteous? The reason hell exists is hell exists for God to righteously deal with Satan. Hell was created for Satan, not us. Look what the scripture says. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell wasn't even created for mankind. Hell wasn't even put up there and established for us. God created hell for Satan and his demons. That's what it's created for. That's what it's there for. And people have this misconception. I want to make sure you get a picture here. Hell isn't a place, and most people think Satan rules hell. Most people think, you know, you see all those old TV shows or cartoons, you know, the guy walking around with a big old red suit on, some funny looking ears, got a pitchfork in one hand, you know, this tail hanging around behind him, and he's walking around ruling hell, dictating over hell. I want to tell you something. Satan does not rule hell, all right? God rules heaven and hell. You need to understand that. But we get this picture that Satan's kind of walking around, ha, 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 I got another one. Yeah. And we have this image of how God works there. And it's false. God is in ultimate control. And Satan is in hell because God created it for him. But then later on, we decided to follow Satan. Well, would it be fair? Now, have you ever had this? I'm sure nobody here ever does anything like this. You're going down the freeway and you're going with the flow of traffic. But for some reason, the guy with the bubble top on his thing that flashes pulls you over. But you're going with the flow of traffic. Everybody else is doing the same thing. And I'm sure you never said, that's not fair. Why did he pick me? That's not fair. And you feel, look, everybody else is doing the same thing. Well, would it be fair? Would it be just? Would it be righteous for God to punish Satan and not to punish everyone else who does wrong? Would that be a just God? We'd all go, no, that's not right. So hell is not just created for Satan, but it's also a place for unbelievers. Look at what the scripture says. Let's go again. For God to righteously deal with unbelievers. Let's look at that scripture. He will punish those who do not know God. I want to make sure you pay attention here. What are they being punished for right off the bat? They're not being punished for sin. They're being punished for not knowing God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with, I want to guess, again, look at that, everlasting destruction. You got to pay attention to some of these words. There's just short things in there and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you because you believed our testimony to you. He's saying all those who do not believe are going to go to hell. Now, why did they go? Because they didn't believe. See, what we preach, what we teach, our God is mighty to save. You got to reach a point in your life where you say something along these lines. You've heard me say this year after year, time after time. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come my life and take control. That's what a Christian is. And then living right goes from there. And that's exactly what this verse says. They didn't believe. They didn't do right. So they end up in hell. So hell is created for unbelievers. I want to make sure you see that. You know, we want to say hell's for sinners. How often have we heard somebody say that? Well, we're all sinners. But the difference is, some of us have put our faith in God. Some of us put our trust in God. So as I looked at this, I wanted to kind of say, well, that kind of settles it. Hell exists. It's everlasting. It's there for Satan and for unbelievers. That answers the question. But how does it work? How does this play out? How does God run through all of this? And what's so encouraging is Jesus told a story. Jesus told a story about heaven and hell. He kind of gives us a picture of how things transpire and how things work when we talk about hell. And I want to look at that story. Some of you will recognize this story. It's called The Story of the Rich Man and Lazarus. Anybody know the story? See, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's teaching his disciples, and he begins telling them parables. And one of the parables is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And so I put some of the verses here. I want to kind of give you the picture of what's happening and how it plays out when we talk about hell. Look at what it says here as we go through this. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus. Okay, I'm going to stop right there for a minute. You have a rich man. He lived in a large house. Said it had a gated house. Anybody watch the news this week when they ended up getting Obama? I mean, not Obama. Woo! Amanda's going to have to edit this soundtrack. You know what I'm talking about. Ooh. I dug a hole for myself in this one. I might be, okay. Well, his house was a big palace, wasn't it? All gated and community, 6 times larger than anybody else around him. This is kind of what this guy was. This guy was mega, mega, mega rich, all right? This guy, I don't know if I'd put him on the level with Bill Gates and all his billions, but this guy was a millionaire in our time frame. This guy was well off. Large house, gated community. I mean, it's just, I only thought cities had gates. No, his house had a gate. All right? His house had a gate. He was eating luxury food. This guy was eating food, the best food you could buy, the best food you could get every day. I mean, you know, he's going out to the fancy restaurants. You know, he's going out to Ruth's Chris, and he's going over to Scomba's over in the bay over there in San Francisco, and I have to eat at Taco Bell, and this guy's eating all this fancy food. Yeah. And he's dressed in purple. Now, purple was a very special cloth because It was a challenge to dye things purple. You had to get these special seeds. And this guy was top of the line, all right? This guy was the cream of the crop, living high, living well, all right? And so here's this picture. He's sitting there. And at his door was a man named Lazarus. Let's look at what it says here. Lazarus, covered with sores, longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. All right, you got the rich man and you got Lazarus. Here's a man that has sores, blisters, boils, sitting at his gate, the gate of this man's house, begging for food, willing to eat even the scraps off his table. Just whatever he could glean, whatever he could get, he was willing to eat. You got these two extremes. The mega rich and the poor, that even the dogs, when they licked his sores, felt better and made him feel better. And we got these two extremes. Now, I want to make sure you get a picture here. It hasn't said anything bad about the rich man, did it? He's not a bad guy. Having all that's not bad. Having all those accumulated wealth, not bad. Living in a big house wasn't bad. None of that was bad. He wasn't being mean. He wasn't throwing the guy out. He didn't call the cops, say, hey, come and get this guy. He's bugging all my friends that come over, begging for him. Get him off my porch. You know, he didn't throw him out. He didn't have him arrested. Didn't get rid of him. He's not a bad guy. He's not, there's nothing wrong with this guy in that perspective. And Lazarus is hurting. All right? So here's the picture, rich man and Lazarus, and it goes on. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The beggar dies, and he goes to heaven. All right? The rich man also died and was buried in hell, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away. He dies, now not because he's a bad guy, not because he wasn't wealthy, but not because he was wealthy or ate all the fine food. He died and he went to hell because he didn't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's the picture they're painting here. And so now he's in hell. I want you to circle that word torment. All right? He's hurting. Lazarus is in the arms which implies like a Mother's Day, comforting, encouraging, caring for, binding up his wounds, feeding him. That's the picture we see with that one. But then you got the rich man over here being tormented in hell. All right, he's uncomfortable. He looked up and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus by his side. So, okay, I want you to know, he looks up. There's Abraham, Father Abraham, and Lazarus. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue because I'm in agony in this fire." He's hurting. He's in pain, and he wants relief. And he sees Lazarus up there. He says, "Let him help me. I need some help. I'm in trouble down here. I need some help." And I want to make sure you get this picture here of what's going on and what's happening. The rich man is in hell. Lazarus is in heaven. The rich man is in torment. Lazarus is in comfort. Hell is real. He can see both. He can experience both. And I want you to see, I'm going to say a few things real quick. Hell is a place of unspeakable suffering. He was in torment. He was in pain. It was hurting. And he knew it. All right? He was suffering. Hell is real, and it's a place of suffering and torment. Look at what the scripture says as it describes it. If your right eye, let me kind of set this up. This is really key. Now, as I read these verses, don't think Jesus is saying, do this, all right? This is not what he's saying. Go and do this. This is called hyperbole. Anybody know what hyperbole is? Hyperbole is you just stretch things till it's ridiculous, all right? You make it sound silly. You make it sound stupid. Now, here's what he's saying. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. That's not what he means, all right? So what does he mean? It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. He's saying, listen, how bad would it be to pull your eye out and throw it away? That would be hard. That would be painful. That would be horrible. That would be ridiculous. But you know what? That's better than the torment in hell. That's what he's saying. You think it's bad to lose your eye? Think about what it means to go to hell. He goes on and talks about losing your arm. If your arm, cut it off. And what he's saying is, you think those things are bad. We think that's bad. Somebody that's got, I have a friend that has a glass eye. You know? And isn't that sad? He's got a glass eye. You know? My granddaughter broke her arm. She walks around carrying her arms. Some of you have seen her today, walking around carrying her arms around. Oh, that's sad. And Jesus says, oh, yeah, that's sad. Well, if you think that's bad, think about hell. It's torment. It's painful. It's everlasting. It never ends. Look at this next verse. Look at what it says in this next verse. We'll drink the wine of God's fury, which has been poured out full strength onto the cup of his wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of his only angels and of the Lamb. And the smoke and their torment rises forever and ever. Let's go on. There is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and his image, or anyone who receives the mark of his name. Now, one day I'm going to have to preach on all this stuff in Revelation. I did a study in my home group on it once, and I'll have to kind of share how all this works out. But the picture here I want you to see, maybe you want to underline those words, ever and ever. You know, some people believe you die and you cease to exist. That's why they don't believe in hell. You know why some people don't believe in hell? They say you die and you cease to exist. That's it. That's not what God's word says. You will suffer forever and ever and ever. It's torment. It's horrible. And I remember when I was 17, 18 years old, 19 years old, I worked at a movie theater. And my boss there was not a Christian, thought Christians were foolish, had all sorts of names he would call me every once in a while. And what was so funny about the conversation one time, we were talking about heaven and hell, and here was his comment. He goes, "I don't mind going to hell, because now it's all gas. I don't have to shovel coal no more." That's exactly what he said. "I'm not going to mind going to hell because I'm just going to turn gas off." Well, I don't know. It's talking about torment. It's talking about pain. It's talking about suffering. The rich man sitting down there saying, "I just want a drop of water just a drop of water to cool my thirst. Hell is a serious place, and it's uncomfortable to even talk about. It's even worse to think about being there. But I've heard people, and maybe you've heard people talk about, oh, I won't mind going to hell. I'll be there with my buddies. We'll pop a couple of beers, play some poker, and we'll enjoy being in hell. I'm going to tell you, that's not hell. Now, some people think that's hell on earth, and for some it is. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place where it's pain and it's suffering forever and ever. We take Advil and we take Tylenol. If I get a little pain, oh, my arthritis is hurting. I'm getting arthritis. I'm getting old. Yeah. Oh, my back hurts. We'll take some Tylenol. We'll take some Advil, ibuprofen, or whatever it is, just to kind of get relief from that pain. There is no relief in hell. All right? I'm not trying to scare the hell out of you. All right? But you should be have the hell scared out of you. There is no relief. It is a horrible, tormenting place. It's not a place you want to go. And we need to see that and understand that. Maybe Jesus kind of gives the picture of it when he uses the illustration. It's called Gehenna. I have it up here, the Greek word for it, to kind of give you the idea of what it is. I even put the Greek word up there. Can you translate that for me? See those funny letters in the beginning? Gehenna was the garbage dump. Now, as a kid, I used to go to what was called Gerber Dump. When I was a kid outside of Sacramento, there was a dump. It was called Gerber. And you take all your garbage out there. You dump your garbage out there when you cleaned your backyard up or whatever you're cleaning up. You take all your garbage out there. It's always fun to go to the dump because we'd go to the dump. And then at the outside of the dump, they had people that were out there sorting through stuff. You could buy stuff. They had all sorts of tools and all people throw stuff away. They'd go out there and sort through it, and you'd buy all sorts of fan, all sorts of stuff was there. That's not the kind of dump this was, all right? I'm going to let you read the definition yourself, but just to kind of give you a picture. The dump sat on the outside of the city, on the outside of the walls of the city, and it was always on fire. It was always smoldering out there, always burning out there. They would take their garbage out there, and they would throw their garbage in there. But not only would they take their garbage out there and throw it in there, but they would throw dead bodies in there, all right? So there was a criminal. Somebody had done something wrong. They had crucified him. He had died. They would take those bodies and throw them in there. As a matter of fact, there were some people who worshipped a god named Moloch who would take their firstborn children out there and throw them in there. This was a horrible, tormenting place. And what Jesus is saying is, look at our garbage dump out there. You see that garbage dump out there? You know, it's always burning out there. It's always on fire out there. When the wind blows this way, it stinks really horrible. That's what hell is like, is what Jesus is saying. All right, he's painting this picture for him. That's what hell is like. It's a horrible, rotten place. And we need to see that. Look at this next scripture. He answered, this is Jesus, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." This is the rich man. He's going, wait a minute. I'm here, and I don't want anybody else to come here. I don't want my brothers. I love my brothers. I care about my family. I care about those that are close to me. I don't want them to come there. Send somebody to warn them. Go and tell somebody. Go and tell them what this place is like. Well, who's supposed to do that? Who's supposed to sound the warning? You know, I think that's a challenge for us to think about. But here's four things I want you to pick up in this story without a doubt as you look at your outline there. The rich man was fully conscious, all right? There's no such thing as soul sleep, all right? He's not sleeping somewhere waiting around for something to happen. He's not dead. Life does not all of a sudden dead. He's not punished for a little while and then he dies. He's not punished for a little while and then he goes to heaven. He's conscious. He's feeling the pain. He's hurting. He's suffering. He's there, and it's there, and it's happening to him. I want you to make sure you see that. He is conscious. When we die, we will be conscious. And he's in hell, conscious of the pain and the suffering, and he's experiencing it. It's not this soul sleep. It's not sudden death and it's all over. It's not death. You're good for, you pay your price for a little while, then you go to heaven. He is suffering. He's feeling it. He hurts. It's painful. And he's in hell. The second thing I want you to notice about this is this. The eternal destiny was irrevocably to be fixed. There's no way out. It's not going to change. Nothing's going to change it. He is there for eternity. We live our 50 years, 60, 70, 80, 90 years. And man, that's a long time. Eternity never ends. He's there and he can't change it. And he knows he can't change it. There's nothing he can do about it. No way to change. Not pay the price for a while. You know, well, it's a 15-year sentence. It's for eternity. Third thing I want you to notice in the story, he knew what he was experiencing was just. Do you notice he didn't say, this isn't fair? He didn't argue. He didn't say, well, what about I did? He didn't argue about anything. He knew what he was receiving was just. It's what he deserved. He didn't argue about it. He wanted to save his brothers this time, but he didn't say, well, what about, how about, I did, why not, could we? He knew what he received was just, that it was fair, that it was the right thing. And last, I want you to see, he pleaded for someone to help his loved ones know Jesus. He said, send somebody, let somebody. He didn't want others going there. He didn't want others to experience this. So why do we talk about hell? I'm sitting here preaching about it, and it's not a topic that I really enjoy preaching about. I'm not a hellfire and brimstone preacher. I don't really think of scaring the hell out of people is really the way, because once you remove that fear, and I could give testimony in this church where I've seen people get the hell scared out of them, they change their life. But once you remove that fear, they go back to their old lifestyle. So scaring the hell out of people doesn't work. But you need to have the right fear of hell. See, if I was Satan, I would get people so hell wouldn't be a big deal. It's no big deal. Don't worry about it. Don't stress over it. You can go down there and play some cards, drink a few beers, and have a good old time with your buddies. See, if I was Satan, make it that way. Because see, then, why should I be a Christian? It's easy to reject God when, it's no big deal. It's okay. It's there's no rush. I've got all sorts of time. We'll get there someday. See, it's easy to reject God if you don't believe in hell. If you don't think there's a hell and you think, well, this is all there is. Matter of fact, earth is hell. Well, who cares? We need to make sure we talk about hell because it's real, and people need to have a righteous fear of hell. We also need to talk about hell for us who are believers, because we got family members that are going there, all right? We got neighbors, we got friends, we got brothers, we got sisters, we got mothers, we got fathers who do not know Jesus Christ. And we need to wake up and realize that's not a place we want our loved ones to go, just like this rich man did. That we need to have the courage and we need to have we need to have the guts and the boldness to say, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you reached a point in your life where you said something along the lines of, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. See, it's easy for us as believers to ignore that. It's easy for us as believers not to pay much attention to it. Because, see, we really, we believe in hell, but... Do we really see it as a place of torment? Do you really believe it's a place of torment? that it's a place of suffering? Would you be comfortable with your mother, your father, your brother, your sister going there? See, it's important what we think about hell. All right? But I want to make sure you know what God thinks about hell, okay? I want to make sure you see the picture of what God thinks. Look at what this scripture says, and here's the way I want to word this. God does not want anyone to go to hell. That is not God's choice. God does not want anyone to go there. And God doesn't send anyone there. It's our choice, and it's our words to encourage someone. Look what the scripture says. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. Just let me stop right there real quick. We're getting close to May 20th, which according to some people, Jesus is coming back. This just says a day is a day. You know, don't get caught up in that, you know. And next year is 2012, and December 21st in 2012. You know, we don't know, all right? A day is a day. We don't know. It could be 1,000 years. It could be tomorrow. I really believe that. You need to know, my understanding of God's word is this. I could walk out of this place and hear the trumpet sounding as I'm walking out that door, and Jesus is coming. I don't think there's any prophecy to come. I don't think there's anything else to change. I think any day, any time, you could hear a trumpet, and it's Jesus, and everybody's going to know it. All right? Someday that's going to happen. But why does God wait? The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. Why is God waiting? Because he doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He doesn't want our brother, our sister, our mother, our father, our friend, our neighbor, our coworker. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell, but everyone to come to repentance. That's his desire. That's what God wants. Look at what it says. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. It's going to be a surprise. That's why when these people say, oh, May 20th, I just blow it off, all right? December 21st, 2012. Pfft, I just blow that stuff off. I mean, come on. Nobody's going to know, and all of a sudden, you're going to hear a trumpet, and all of a sudden, whether it's C-SPAN or Hit Fox Channel or somebody, you know, I don't know if it's going to come through the TV or what, but everybody's going to know it. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by the fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. God is waiting that none should perish. He wants nobody to perish. So I want to challenge us this morning. Do you believe in hell? And what kind of hell do you believe in? Are you part of that 40% that 60% that doesn't believe? Hell is real. And if it's real, what are we going to do? Yeah, I put these two things at the bottom and these two questions here. All right, let's look at them here on the screen. The first one, if an unbeliever doesn't believe in hell, he is likely to reject Christ without any fear of God. Why should we talk about hell? Why should I discuss it? Why should I even preach on it? Years ago, that was a major topic. You want to read a great sermon? Go home. You can Google this, all right? Go home. This is your homework. Go home. Google sinners in the hands of an angry God. All right? This was a sermon preached back in the 1800s, if I remember right. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. And he describes hell very vividly. And this is how they used to preach. I love reading the sermon. I'm not going to preach a sermon like that, although this comes close. And he talks about hell being like a spider on the end of its web, hanging down over the fiery brimstone. He talks about hell as we're walking across in this life, these planks of boards that wobble, that are cracked, that are falling apart, and we're walking across these planks over the fiery pits of hell. And he describes it. It's fun to read and to see how some perceived hell, and we need to see it that way, as a scary place, an awful place, a horrible place. A place of torment and a place of suffering. And we need to see that and help others see that they don't want to go there, that they don't want to experience that. We need to have the right kind of fear of hell. The second thing we need to pay attention to is this. If a believer doesn't believe in hell, he won't be motivated to share Christ. When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? If you really believe in hell and you believe that neighbor, that friend, that coworker, that mother, that father, that brother, that sister, if you really believe in hell, do you want them to go there? Think about it. The rich man was praying, God, please. He was begging, God, please send somebody to warn. Do we ever pray a prayer like that? You ever pray, God, send somebody to my mother or my father? I have. My brother, my sister, I got a brother that committed suicide, and you want to know? I don't know where he's at. I absolutely don't know. I encourage you, and this is one of my prayers for me, is I think about my grandparents. I know where my grandparents are. They made a statement of faith when they were young, and they lived a life that demonstrated that statement. Now, my mother and father made a statement when they were young, but they haven't always lived that way. Now, I don't know what God's going to do with them. I really don't. He's a just and righteous God. I talked to him. The other day, my mom calls me after I'd been talking with him, and I didn't really put any extra pressure on or didn't do anything different. But my mom calls me and goes, you know, I'm a Christian, and I'm going to go to heaven. And I didn't say anything. I'm going, what did I say? Did I say anything that day? You know, I don't know. And that's what's hard for me to say. I don't know. I want to know. When my dad was having his surgery, I talked to him, and he's having his 5 bypasses done. Because I want to know. You know, and they don't really want to answer. What about you? Who do you need to share with? Who needs to hear from you? See, if we don't believe in hell, what? Yeah. They're going to go down there. It's not that bad of a place. It's going to be okay. See, if we don't take hell seriously, we don't share our faith. See, that's what I want to challenge us with this morning. I want to challenge us, as I talk about hell, not to scare the hell out of you, but to challenge you that we have neighbors and friends and mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and coworkers that need to hear the story of God. I want to encourage you. At the bottom of the page, I put it this way. I believe in hell. I believe in hell. And you need to know, I'm not afraid of hell because I know I ain't going there. And it's not because Gary's good, because some of you are going to go, I know you're not, all right? Some of you know me really well. It's not because Gary's good. It's not because I'm a preacher. It's because when I was 17 years old, my cousins had the courage, and my aunt and uncle had the courage to sit around a dining room table on a Sunday night after church and say, Gary, have you ever thought about this? And shared the good news of Jesus Christ. And I made a decision then that I'm going to serve God. Whatever, wherever. Yeah. The thing is, I always think about it. You know, if I would have got saved that night and accepted Jesus that night, and then somebody said, Gary, you're going to be a preacher, I'd probably never went back to church. Yeah. But after a while, God worked in my heart, and I'm just committed to whatever he says. I want to challenge you. Where are you at with your walk? I want to ask you this. If you were to die today, I don't wish that on anybody, all right? Just set it up. I'm not asking for that. I don't pray that. But with your family, would your neighbors or your friends have the comfort to know that you're in heaven? Would they? Would they know, like I know about my grandmother and my grandfather, that they're in heaven? If not, what are you going to do? Then I want to ask you, who do you need to tell the story to? I left a little space underneath that last one. If believer doesn't believe in hell, he won't be motivated to share Christ. I left a little space there. I want you to think about somebody you need to share with. I want you to write a name there. That's why I left that. I want you to write a name. I finished preaching about hell. Maybe I didn't convince you. Maybe you don't think hell exists, but I do. Who do you need to tell? This is for your eyes only. I don't want to see it. I'm not going to collect these. But I want to challenge you. Who do you need to share the good news of Jesus Christ? Who do you want to warn that if they continue, they'll end up in hell. Now, they might get offended. They might get hurt. They might push back. But I'd rather have them be hurt. I'd rather have them be offended than to suffer for eternity in hell. Who do you need to share the story with? Let's pray.